Colton is such a snitch.
He is such a snitch. Like, he's like, Tayshia, do me a solid and tell me who you think isn't here for me. And she's like, Kaylin. And he's like, cool. Kaylin, Tayshia said you weren't ready for marriage.
He's done this so many times.
It is.
He is the number one instigator of drama in this house.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. What an exotic week we have in Denver. Just drama, girl fights, misery.
Everyone behaved poorly and no one jumped over a fence.
It was an enormous disappointment to me. Everything Same. About this episode was an enormous disappointment. A lot of specific disappointments.
We'll get into
through.
All of them.
And to talk them through, we're joined today by Nick Vile of Natural Habits Essential Oils and, of course, the new podcast, The Vile Files. Thanks so much for being here.
Hi, ladies. Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's always nice to have you on. We're back in Vietnam, the Night of the Rose ceremony.
I almost forgot that we were still in Vietnam.
I was like, we're still in Vietnam. Colton, we have to see Colton's night of video vlog diary, etc.
Yeah. Show's just trying to keep up with the times.
Yeah. It's very Instagram-y.
Why? It seems like the traditionalists don't like it. I don't really have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it as a concept. It's just not really doing anything. Like, it's not a particularly interesting gimmick. Colton's delivery, he's not really delivering any new information. So it's just like him in bed, like low quality, like, guys, I'm just like feeling things and this just happened.
He's totally
this thing
freaking
you just said.
Out right now. Cause like, bleep, bleep. Like,
I'm assuming it's for like, you know, yeah, I get what you're saying. It doesn't necessarily accomplish anything.
It's just funny, mostly. Yeah. Like, yeah. But not the way perhaps was intended.
I feel like we would get more out of an in-the-moment where they prompted him to say more interesting things, maybe. I don't know if that's realistic for me to wish for, but I don't see that there's much value added by this.
Also, the music cues were so ominous in this one. I was like, this is about to turn into a horror film. Like, Colton's going to be murdered in his sleep.
Nothing happened.
Yeah. I mean, they head to Denver, and we get the travel montage with the same. They look happy. They're skipping. They're whooping. They're be like, Denver, hi.
It's just as good and cool to go to Denver.
Do you ever notice that, though? Like, in between when they show the travel montage, everyone's totally fine with each other. Like, but sandwiched in between utter hatred for one another and drama. But when we get on a plane, we're best.
I mean, how much can you really fight while you're on a moving walkway, you know? Wow, have you had a fight on a
moving
walkway?
Well, that's kind of my point, though. It's people certainly in their environment play into their environment, and then when they're out of it, they're
like, now is the time when we whoop at the camera and are like, Denver!
Yeah,
but it's interesting because this time, coming off of Colton's very ominous direct to the camera, they've cut in this musical cue over this particular travel montage that is really sort of uncanny and dark. It's like that plinking piano that you might hear at, like in a psychological horror movie to indicate that something bad is about to happen. And then there's mournful guitar. And I was like, this is not our usual travel montage vibe.
It's really setting you up. But
yeah.
The music, it really is the show.
Yeah. I mean, I've become so much more aware of it since I started watching, and I just couldn't help thinking how differently they could have played that montage, but they really wanted us to.
It's really all about the music. And the music really tells people how to feel about a situation or a person.
Yeah.
If you watch it with a soundtrack off, you probably have a very different interpretation from a lot of the things that happened on the show.
Yeah. And this music was telling me Colton season is in trouble. This whole shit might come crashing down in Denver.
Yeah, well.
Well, it sort of did in a sense.
But one great thing is in Denver for Colton, and that is his BFF forever,
Ben Higgins.
They get to sit down, have a beer, and just talk about.
I fast forwarded through that part. What do you say? I'm assuming it was.
I didn't retain
anything. Follow your heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to be home.
Yes.
Yes.
Those things.
Yeah.
Family is important.
Also.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Follow your heart. Lean into your feelings.
Really go for it.
And like, uh-huh. I know
don't
it's stressful.
Don't be afraid of your heart broken.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
And I think
did I get it all?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ben is like, it's only going to get harder and also better from here.
But and great. And it's going to be
great.
Amazing.
And perfect.
I love that. But
and Colton.
He certainly stays on script.
Yeah. but Colton doesn't want to hear that it's going to get more intense because he feels like he's really at his limit already.
Which is probably true.
Probably true.
No,
it's
a really hard part in the season. And early on, being the Bachelor is incredibly physically taxing. In the sense that it's just like 20-hour days of endless conversations with a bunch of people you barely know, and they're all nervous, and it's really on you.
Sounds terrible.
And no, it's
it really does sound terrible.
You know, and there's
and
it's just physically
it
taxing,
oh, no.
And then there's kind of this shift as relationships develop. There's less people, so physically taxing it becomes a little easier. Days are slightly less longer, and it's easier to have conversations with six women you kind of know than 20 women you have no idea who they are. But then it's obviously just, it wears on you and becomes like, and by this time you're truly just, you're still physically drained, but emotionally just taxed. And so it's a really tough part of the season for any Bachelor.
And Colton is very sturdy physically, but emotionally he is maybe a little more wobbly. So he tells Ben, you know, that he is scared about what he heard from the three women who left, and it's making him question things. He's not sure if he can meet the families unless the women are ready. And Ben's like, you should say that to them. And Colton's like, yeah man.
I should.
Always good to see you, man. Always great. Handshake.
Well, see you later.
Bye. And so Colton meets the women at a park with his dog and tells...
You guys are very thorough.
I'm
Claire,
sorry.
Claire likes to get into every detail.
When you watch it, are you taking notes?
Yes.
I have, look at this. This is 8 pages of notes.
How do you?
Claire's more intense about it than I am.
This is
my
job.
Notes, but not every detail.
I'm truly envious because we would work well together business-wise.
Is this a proposal?
I'm a big believer in work with people who are really good at the things that you're terrible. I don't know how to take a note. I don't know how to take notes. I mean, I know how to take a note in acting. I'm actually quite... That's my only thing I'm good at in acting.
Nick is plugging himself as an actor on this podcast right now. Hire Nick.
I just booked a couple of drinks. But I just don't know how to take notes that way. I just like and to see you. That's just truly impressive. That's as impressive to me as seeing someone do like a windmill dunk.
Same. I'm very impressed by myself right now.
I'm just as unlikely to be able to do this as I am to Michael Jordan dunk it from the 3-for-a line.
Like, I mean, so.
Anyway,
we'll get back to the Bachelor.
What was the point of all those notebooks full of class notes I took in high school and college if not to prepare for the Bachelor?
This is what they were training us for.
Exactly.
I had like,
stick
men and houses, and I got really good at my art.
A lot of doodles in Nick's
We all have
notebooks.
To decide what to prioritize, and we can't all do the same thing.
And in Denver, the priority is to go on a date with Tayshia and announce this in front of all the women so that they have to sadly turn away.
I will say they all got to meet his dog. And
a real gift.
And if he hadn't made them all come out to the park to tell them that Tayshia was the one going on the date, then they wouldn't have gotten to meet the dog.
Again, this is part of the playbook. This is surprising to no one, right? Like,
it's extremely standard. So he and Tayshia walk off. They're going to walk around downtown Denver.
Like a normal couple.
Yeah, he's just going to take her to like
so normal.
His favorite oyster spot.
I feel like
spots.
I've known you forever because this is so normal and a very, yeah.
It's like, I mean, we could grocery shop and then, like, cook dinner, and it would be so normal.
In truth, though, those are the dates you appreciate the most in that world.
I actually think that's the kind of date I would want.
It is. It. You know, you're in a very abnormal environment, and most of what you do doesn't feel normal. So to have those moments and to be home, I can assure you that Colton does cherish those moments, and it's fun to do that.
And if you're Tayshia, then that means you get a lot of time to talk to Colton, whereas if you're doing a more active date, your time might be taken up just, snowboarding, for example.
And you got a lot of time to talk about other women.
Yeah, or and also you can talk about other women and also other things. So you can just slip it right in there without it dominating your time. They have an interesting, like, chemistry together. It's not as sexy as it is with Cassie and Hannah G, but they have a very established couple vibe.
Yeah. I like it.
He has his arm around her a lot.
It's pretty charming. They seem affectionate towards each other. They seem to genuinely enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, but he's like, she seems I can go an hour without throwing you onto a bed somewhere. Restrained.
Well, I mean, she seems like she knows what she's doing in terms of communicating. Like, it's... again, Rachel was always great at that. You know, just the women in that world, it's interesting because it's the women who make it easy to talk to and just be around. Just being pretty doesn't, especially in that world, doesn't work because it's all about talking. So the people who make it easy to communicate with really make it enjoyable to be around, and she seems like she's good at that.
Well, I feel like it's often the girls who like are easy to talk to and be around who fill out the top group, but then it's the really pretty girl who wins. Or like even with Ari, like he didn't pick Lauren because he was worried that she couldn't communicate enough.
But is who he married.
He did marry her. And like that came later. But I do feel like often, you know, you want women around that you can hang out with. But it's that woman that you're just really turned on by and drawn to and never seem to have a conversation with.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think there's some like Lauren and Ben. I've met Lauren. I'm sure she made it very easy for Ben to be around, and Vanessa made it very easy for me to be around. She certainly talked plenty. I mean, she.
Yeah, that was not that lack of communication thing was not the vibe with you and Vanessa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
too
but
much.
I do get the feeling from Colton that the women he's really into, he like doesn't want to waste time having conversation with them when he could be like sticking his tongue down their throat.
Yeah,
there's just
there's
be an
limited,
editing thing.
There's limited time.
We have limited information.
There's limited time. I mean, your every date's cut down to 5% of what actually happens. So.
Yeah, I'm going to assume he has more conversations than we see.
Yes.
But your point stands, Claire.
I mean,
There is that thing about, like, she just has a quality. It's unknowable.
Yeah. Her face.
Yeah, it's her face. Hard to define what it is, but it's also her body.
You know, so. us men, we're simple creatures.
Well, you see that with the bachelorettes, too, sometimes, that it is that, you know, I think this guy is really hot, and it's hard to, like, justify why I like him so much.
But I do.
Josh and Sean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what conversations the leads are having with everyone, but it's definitely chemistry is very real.
They all talk to that. There's the whoever the lead picks. There's a real connection there. It's not just their face.
Who am I to judge? You know, I never talk to my husband. I'm kidding. I don't want to let that sit. Okay, so they end up kind of stopping to chat at what looks like a sort of grocery store with a bar. In it?
It's a market.
It's a market.
Yeah, they have one in Milwaukee. It's like a public market.
Oh,
I took Andy there.
Oh yeah. I remember
that. A good
date.
It's a great date.
And no, it's a great date. It's not a great place to film because there's so many other people there.
There was a lot of background noise.
And so this, of course, this place with the fuzzy like sound quality is where Colton decides to ask Tayshia about what Katie and Sydney and Demi had warned him about. So he asks Tayshia
point blank about it. I feel like that's important to point out because people were very upset with Tayshia using her time to talk about other women. And I think, again, tactically, it's never a good move. But I do think when the person you're on a date with asks you the question directly, it's like
it's a little
harder.
I've made that mistake, Caitlin. Listen, it's probably a bit producer driven. I made that mistake when Caitlin asked me about Sean, and I just kind of was so tired of him, like, talking shit. So I was like, fuck it, you know. But it's never good.
Oh, it's never tactically smart.
Even when the lead asks you, it's never good. You can just say, hey, listen, that's for you to figure out, and I'm here to spend time with you. And I understand you want to know, but, like, I really just want to focus
on
us.
That's your problem.
Well, no, you just kind of say, like, you know, I might have my opinions, but there's, you know, and it's the truth. You could say, I'm having a hard enough time trying to like sort through all my feelings, you know, and figuring you out. Like I could be misreading a situation because I'm biased, you know, and so mm-hmm. I just want to focus on us. Like that's the right answer.
It's just yes, but I agree. It's the correct thing to do, but I think it's I'm not surprised. It's hard, is no, what it's I'm hard, saying.
And I made that mistake too. It's like I say that now, having not done that when I was in that situation.
It's just so deftly created by the show because they have all that tape. Like they could show Colton, but they never will because what they need is for Colton to try to get the information out of the other women. And then for that to affect his relationships with the other women, sure. To affect their relationships with each other. We're never going to see that tape.
What tape?
The tape of the alleged conversation.
It might not exist.
But they are but like also, linked up all the time.
There is a and high somehow, likelihood it does exist.
The thing is that somehow these conversations are never produced, even though they're on camera like all the time. Which
yeah,
makes
but it could have been early on when they're
that,
traveling.
My thing is
that's what usually when it happens, right? When these honest conversations about
like
post show,
like on the plane or something.
What post show or like, you know, bachelorette talk, and it happens all the time. That's when it happens. It's when they're traveling and they're not mic'd, and there's
a fair
freedom,
fair,
and like
point.
Other people, you know, like they're literally at an airport getting coffee, and everyone's just relaxing a little bit. And then you talk and someone's overhearing it. And then, yeah, that's usually when it does happen. So there's a good chance it's not on tape.
Interesting.
They would probably show it if it was on tape.
I don't know if they would, though.
I don't know
because
that they
I
would
do
either.
Think it serves them much better to have everyone speculating about what actually happened.
Maybe.
To have Colton asking the other women, to have the women then fighting about it. I feel like it's just as well for them if the tape doesn't exist.
And especially if, you know, clearly, Kaylin and Cassie, there is a high likelihood that the two of them could be some combination of the winner and Bachelorette. So
yeah, it
how bad,
me.
Right, how, you know, does the show want to make them potentially look bad? Like, mm-hmm. maybe it's better for it to be ambiguous so that people can come to their defense more easily.
I just kind of get a kick out of it. Listen, every girl there would prefer to win. And or be the Bachelorette.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. whatever, you know, like
yeah.
they're all guilty of it. They've all thought it. They've all said it. They've all talked about it. They're all there for the wrong reasons.
I mean, there are no wrong reasons.
That's what I'm saying. They're there for the experience. And that experience is something they read about, heard about, and they had no idea what it was actually about. And now they're in it.
Well, it makes me think back to when like Crystal had that actually quite on camera freak out. About
from
how
from Ari season? Crystal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not all of it was on camera, but it sort of came out that she had said that she came on for Peter and that
she called Ari not Peter.
Right. And so I do think that there are like versions of that conversation that you can have where you're like, I really just want to like meet cooler guys than this, like later in the process, like I want to get to have my pick. There are ways that you can have that I can understand Colton being like, oh, I definitely don't want to marry that person then. However, we didn't hear anything to that extent. And so it's like for them to all seemingly like all the women in the house being sort of like, he needs to know what Kaylin and Cassie said.
Well,
and then
the
for
women,
the result. Well, even like Hannah G was sort of like, yeah, you should maybe tell him.
Hannah G, I think, is tactically keeping out of it.
She played this very smart.
Hannah G also is aware of her competition.
True.
And she knows her competition is Cassie and Kaylin. Right, Kaylin, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's not really involved. And so it was just like, yeah, I mean, you should tell him. And then, like, Raven was kind of like that in the sense that she was very, like, Raven had her, like, fingers and everything, but she'd be the one to be like, well, I mean, I'd probably tell him. And then she'd, like, walk away.
That's smart.
You know, she'd stay out of it. But also be knee deep in it, but just tactful, tactically.
Yeah. But it's surprising to me that there was such a strong sense of outrage. And then when it came time to lay out the evidence, all we hear is these
none.
Very
there
vague
was zero
things.
Evidence.
Yeah, that kind of frustrated me. And the whole episode was also edited so bizarrely that I just felt like I was grasping at anything to understand what had happened at
but
all.
But let's go back to that. They certainly played enough of tape that if – it's not like it was so chopped up when like Kerpa or the other women were asked to give examples – They didn't give examples. They tried to give examples.
Tayshia did.
We're going to get to
what
that.
What was her example?
Tayshia says
they looked guilty.
Tayshia says they, yes, that.
That's not an example.
But also Tayshia says that Katie
directly overheard a conversation.
Overheard the conversation and told her that they had been talking about partying and like meeting other guys.
Fine.
And wanting to be the bachelorette and seeming to say that they would not accept a proposal.
My guess is that the truth's somewhere in the middle, and they probably had some conversation that maybe the word bachelorette was mentioned, and maybe some conversations about what will life be like post-show, especially if they're not picked, which mm-hmm. odds are they wouldn't be. And again, like everyone's looking for that gotcha moment. All your like, they are. And, you know, especially someone for me.
We're all just Mullers out here.
Well, when I like, you know, especially on Caitlyn's season, when I showed up, right, like, all these guys thought I was like some producer plant. They had no idea, like, you know, my relationship with Caitlyn at the time. And they were all just looking for me to fuck up. They were just listening to everything I said, that if I said anything that could be misconstrued is that my intentions were. And so, yeah, I mean, my point is all the women there are. They don't know what they just got themselves into. They've certainly, especially now with Paradise and social media, they've seen a bunch of us, bunch of their predecessors doing the things that we're doing. Of course they've considered what the show and the opportunity will bring it. And there's conversations about it. I mean, does that mean also like early on, if they're having this conversation with each other, you know, week three or four, they've all maybe had at best an afternoon with Colton, mm-hmm. you know? So to say, I remember when I, you know, met Andy and I got the first impression rose. I was locked in. I was like, oh, I have this crate. And I had a first date, you know, I was really into her, but it was still like, I don't know. Like, I barely know this chick. You know, you don't really get delusional about your feelings until at this point in the season.
Yeah.
No, but seriously.
Well, this is Tayshia's second date. So she.
No,
is
but
feeling...
this mysterious conversation, we don't know when it happened or where mm-hmm. it happened in the context. And so I don't doubt that some version of it happened, but I don't think it was some. Yeah. I don't think it's proof that they're the wrong women or they're not there for the right. They're clearly 23. They're clearly young. They're probably not ready for marriage. That's all like safe assumptions.
Yeah.
I buy all that, right?
The fact that it's all coming up now and like all of a sudden makes me think that it happened more recently.
I agree.
Because
it seemed like it probably happened more recently. But I also
I don't necessarily
think that that's some horrific thing that it happened more recently, but I do think it happened more recently. And I think at this point in the season, every one of these women's emotions is heightened. They've been in this like lockbox environment that would drive anyone crazy. And so I also kind of understand why you would seize on things to be like, this is frustrating if you're not even taking this as seriously as me. That I just sort of felt like I could see how all of this happened and they probably all were telling the truth, more or less.
I believe everyone in their own version.
But it was all just like, oh, this is just playing it all wrong. Like it devolved into a lot of really crappy name calling and just things that really bummed me
but
out.
Here's what happened. Here's why I don't necessarily think it happened recently, because things can happen again. It's recently or not recently. We're talking about weeks or days. The difference. So it's all recently, but easily this mysterious conversation could have happened. Maybe a week later in an ITM, one of the cast people like mentioned it to a producer. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden the producers are like, hey, this is what's going around. This is the rumor mill in the house. And then one-on-one conversations will happen with producers and they'll start asking more questions and they'll plant seeds of doubt. Be like, well, I don't know. Maybe you should tell them. And then like, especially as these women get sent home, that's when they coincidentally all like drop this line on Colton. Like,
it's
not an accident.
It's all women who went home in like the last week.
Fine, but
so
they're all
it
like
it all happened.
Yeah, but that just means that they were going that because also no one wants to talk shit while they're there.
Right, but like know? Girls aren't going home before this week.
I'm just saying, like it's not.
You might be right.
It's quite possible.
You might be right
from previous experience that they know when to time things.
You definitely might be right, but I don't think that we have enough evidence to like definitively say what happened, and so we're gonna have to just move on.
Until women tell all, maybe we'll get some answers.
But that's not happening today.
Nope.
So, but the thing is that Tayshia seems really happy to tell Colton this. He seems really ill to hear that his front runners are being questioned. And it surprised me that Tayshia did not seem more bothered by that. But she's there to sort of like kiss it better. Then they go home. They cook salmon together. They eat at his like coffee table. And he's asking if her family is ready for her to get engaged again after getting divorced. And she talks about how her dad is very protective of her and it was hard for him to watch her get divorced. And so he might have some really tough questions. And Colton says, you know, he totally gets that. And you can call him old-fashioned, but he won't get down on one knee unless he has the father's permission. It's very important to him.
We're mocking him for this?
Yes.
Yes.
Because who fucking cares what's important to Colton? It's her father. And if she doesn't want him to ask for her father's permission, then why is it important to him? If I was like, I don't want you to ask my dad for permission to marry me, and he was like, well, it's very important to me, so I'm going to do it, I would be like, please kindly escort yourself out.
She said, I don't want you to ask my dad.
That's not the point is
no,
that
no, no, no.
It is
the tradition in itself. It just feels a little unnecessary.
It's old-fashioned. He said I could call him old-fashioned, and I'm going to. It's very old-fashioned.
It is old-fashioned.
Sure, but the show is old-fashioned.
Not every season is like this. Yeah. Not every season involves the Bachelor insisting on getting permission
also,
from each father.
Only the father.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Like, I would be very uncomfortable to have not gotten the permission from Vanessa's dad.
Why do you need permission? She's an adult.
I guess. Call me old-fashioned. I don't
I
know.
Do.
That's how
I call
was
that old-fashioned.
That's how I was raised. It seems like
but feminism is about like questioning certain things that are how we were raised.
I'm not arguing the point. I'm being honest with in this moment of I've literally never thought about it.
It's something that we question every season.
I get your point. I understand it.
It's something we question every season.
It bothers me on a few levels. It bothers me that the expectation is that only the father needs to grant permission.
Well, there's
and,
that.
And, there, well, and that is the tradition because marriage was an exchange of property, yeah, traditionally.
That makes sense.
And so that is
Vanessa's
what this
mom.
Is about.
In which daughters were used as currency,
okay,
right?
That makes sense,
it's a very anti-woman tradition.
Fair enough.
And
thank you for educating me.
You are welcome.
I did ask Vanessa's mom.
That's very nice. I'm sure that she appreciated it.
I also think there's a difference between saying, like, I would love to have your blessing and saying, I need your permission.
That's true. Right. Yeah. And I think it's more like that. I would really love your support.
I mean, yeah.
I think there's, and I think, I feel like, I know when I did, like, it. I think that's the kind of the meaning behind it nowadays, where it's just like, hey, we're going to be hopefully family and I'd love to, you know.
Well, but
I'd love
also,
you guys to be on board.
So I would like my future in-laws to be on board. They're now my current in-laws, but like I would want them to be on board. So why is there no expectation that I go to them and ask for their blessing to become part of
totally
their family?
Fair.
It's all based around this idea that like there's some sort of partnership being formed between the husband and the parents of the wife.
Specifically the father.
Specifically
only the father.
The father. I don't know. I
That's
found
fair.
It. There was definitely a lot of old-fashionedness jumping out of Colton's attitudes about marriage this week.
In defense to Colton, though, that is not mostly on him. I mean, hometown week is really hard, and the show can make it very hard on the lead. There's no Bachelor. Let's talk Bachelor because the Bachelor, that's the part of the show to ask the, you know, they make it part of the show.
Right.
No Bachelor in the history of the show has ever gone into hometowns thinking he might still get engaged to four different women. That's never happened. I'm here to tell you.
Spoiler alert.
And every Bachelor feels really uncomfortable with this concept of suggesting that they might to these parents. And it feels really disingenuous. And it was the hardest week for me, I'm assuming. And I got a lot of fights with production in terms of, like, I'm not, like, I'll ask it in my way, but, like, I'm not, you know, like talking to Vanessa's parents really mattered to me. I really was, you know, mm-hmm. wanted, you know, their blessing or whatever. And I wanted, and most importantly, I wanted my time with Vanessa's parents. I wanted them to know how sincere I was about their daughter in the sense that, like, hey, you don't know me. And the next time you'll hear from your daughter, I might ask her to marry me. So, like, what do you want to know about me? You know, I just try to have it to be a sincere moment. So it's just really difficult, and there's a lot of that pressure is put on Colton. It's a tough position to be in, because for right or wrong, it's the show's based off a lot of traditional things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it definitely is not all about judging Colton. Yeah. It's about talking about the way that the show has traditionally been structured and the way that that can be expressed through the Bachelor's own views, but also
now?
What they expect from the Bachelor. You know, they expect him to ask for permission, and clearly that's something he's very comfortable with, but it's built into the show, and we find that very troubling, and we continue to find
we'll
it troubling.
We'll talk about it every season.
I get it. It makes sense. If they can vlog and stay current that way, they can...
Yeah. Exactly. Change with the times. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from week 7 of The Bachelor. Back at the house, the date card arrives. Kaylin is getting the next one-on-one, and you can just tell that the other women are, like, all of the women are so on edge. Half of them immediately
start
crying.
I'm so happy for this.
It's just a rough week all around. Then we shoot right back to Tayshia's date, and she gets the rose.
Yeah. And we actually already got a cutaway back to the house. We saw Kaylin and Cassie talking about how they definitely weren't worried at all that Tayshia was going to say something to Colton, because why would he? That would be crazy. They'd have to make it up. Cut, of course, to Tayshia telling Colton not to trust them. But that wraps up Tayshia's date. And next, Kaylin.
Oh, except for the jersey moment.
Oh, my God. How could I forget?
Jersey moment.
He gives her an old jersey of his.
And she comes out and tumbles onto the bed.
Yeah.
And he imagines that she is already filling out the legal forms to change her last name.
We don't like this either.
Oh, didn't love it.
He said her name on the jersey, my name on her jersey could be foreshadowing to her taking my name.
I mean, I get it, but can any of it just
you
be lighthearted?
You're entitled to your own opinion.
It's not that I haven't.
So are we.
I don't really have an opinion about it. It's
okay,
kind of my
we
opinion.
We have an opinion.
No, I'm curious, but can it just be lighthearted?
Yes, and I'm sure perhaps that's how he intended it. It's just one of those things that, like, taken, especially with coming right after the father
the
stuff,
thing,
I was just like,
you're mine.
I mean, it does. I do think that he does just, like, naturally expect that he marries will take his last name, and that it's, like, really nice to see his name on a hot chick that he likes.
Underwood's
like to,
a good last name.
I mean, it's fine. I mean,
yeah, but
doesn't mean everyone needs to take
you know,
it.
By all, you know. I'm just like, hey, babe, if you don't want it,
I get it.
You know, like,
there are worse things.
You know, I just think that should be a conversation.
Yes, I agree. So that was quite a moment. And then the next day is Kaylin's date, and she meets...
Snowboarding.
Yes, they're snowboarding. She doesn't know how to snowboard.
I would be. Colton, I would have just been terrible.
It's very
on
difficult
this
to keep your balance.
I was going to say, the balance is very difficult.
Yeah.
I'll only ski. No snowboarding for me.
Yeah, I need to be able to do the pizza. That's how I stay
exactly
upright, the pizza slice. So they have fun in the powder, and then they sit down, and he's like, this was so great. You're a natural on the mountain. You made me really proud. But this whole time I've had a question in the back of my head, because Tayshia, you know, in response to my questions, shared that she thought you weren't ready to get married.
Colton is such a snitch.
He is such a snitch. Like, he's like, Tayshia, do me a solid and tell me who you think isn't here for me. And she's like, Kaylin. And he's like, cool. Kaylin, Tayshia said you weren't ready for marriage.
He's done this so many times.
Wait, is this
he is
hilarious
the number one instigator of drama in this house.
It's great. Good for him. I appreciate it.
It's awful. He's such a dick.
Wait, do you guys like not like Colton's Bachelor?
Oh, I like him.
I like Colton, but he has these certain habits where I'm just like, why? Why do you always immediately tattle?
It's just almost, it's funny to
it's
me.
Not, yeah. It's not him.
It's funny, though.
It's the...
I mean, he doesn't have to. It is... He makes choices. You always
I get
say
it,
this.
But
producers don't make you do anything. He makes choices,
but
too.
Also, it's also, like, just a... Being... Again, we're not asking for sympathy, but being the lead is a truly
we're
hard
asking for
thing,
sympathy, aren't we?
Hard thing to do, and it's a lot of pressure, and it's truly a terrifying experience, which we sign up for, I get.
And get paid for.
Fine. But, like, there's also this, you know, regardless of all that, you still want to meet someone and you want it to work and it can be terrifying.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden this drama happens. You don't know who to believe.
But he asked Tayshia to be part of the drama. And then he is, like, creating a situation where she is going to be even more enmeshed in it. Like, I feel like he is, in part, authoring his own demise with the drama. That's all I'm saying.
Probably.
And
yeah.
And that's, you know, I feel for
him. And we thank him.
I want him to be happy. So Kaylin is really upset to hear this. She says, you know, that's not why I'm here. I wouldn't be here unless I was ready to get married. And he's like, well, I don't understand.
I in no way believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe that at all. And he's like, well, I don't understand why someone would go out of their way to say that if there wasn't truth to it, which is
fair point.
Fair. And
in that world, people say shit all the time.
I think his point is like a kernel of truth to it, at least.
Well, here's what it's in that world. Like, I believe, again, I've said, I believe that everyone believes their own truth.
Right.
Right. So I believe that they believe that they're not ready. It's all a matter of opinion and perspective.
So yeah,
I think what's really throwing Colton is that he feels like there must be at least a kernel of truth, and he's getting thrown by people diametrically contradicting each other. He's like, if she said, you know, like, oh, well, you know, one night we were all like imagining what it would like to be Bachelorette and she must be referring to that, but that's clearly not what I meant, then maybe that would give him some like relief for the cognitive
dissonance.
Exactly.
I was going to say if either Kaylin or Cassie had acknowledged that like they had had a casual conversation and their words were twisted out mm-hmm. of meaning, that would make much more sense to me than this, like, these stupid bitches are coming after me.
But I think they were smart not to. I think they were smart not to because...
You get used against. It's a tough position to be in because it's like, what do you mean? And then it's just...
Yeah.
No, I see why they didn't.
Yeah, tactically, I think it was wise for them to completely play dumb on that. And she's like, I wouldn't put myself through this for a boyfriend.
This emotional hell.
Boyfriend is just basically worthless. you need a husband to make all this worth it. And imagine
and
what the other 29 women will feel like.
200,000 Instagram followers.
But the thing is they play in their own narrative. It's more in recent seasons than I can remember, this not right reasons thing, you know, obviously, which is a big part of the show and the franchise. We almost, I feel like, in a lot of other seasons, kind of got away from it a little bit. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of right reasons on my season. I don't remember it on Ari's season. And it's, like, nonstop on this season.
Yeah.
And it probably because of the age, you know, there's a lot of young women. And it's just almost comical to me, this whole emphasis on right reasons. But the women there are doing it, you know, because, again, like, back to, like, producers get sometimes too much credit. All these women have been watching the show for years, and they, because they're younger, they're saying often, I'm assuming, what they think they should be saying, and they are all truly terrified. I will say, everyone who goes in that world does not want to be pointed at saying, you're not here for the right reasons. You're just like, it's a terrifying, like, it feels like you're just really being attacked for...
Right, your character is
In that world, it's like saying you're, you know... like a terrible person. It's like there's no worse thing you could be called.
Yeah.
So you get very defensive. It gets thrown around. It's like the Salem witch trials. It's like, oh, it really, like, you're a witch. You're a witch. You know, like.
I mean, I feel like having, all these young girls, and a lot of them are pageant girls. They're right out of college. They're, you know, Instagram influencers. A lot of people who might very reasonably be perceived as being there for a lark or for followers. And that's all feeding into itself to create this very nasty tone in the house that I'm not enjoying.
And it's not a coincidence that the women who are like 2 to 3 years their senior are all the ones who are mature.
Those are very formative 2 to 3 years.
They
were for me.
No,
also,
the difference between
23 and 28 is actually sizable.
It's massive. It's massive. But yet, at the same time, you know, in fairness to the younger women, I mean, it's also like... You know, the older women are just like, I mean, I get it, right? Like, we're all, the three of us are sitting here kind of like snarking at the younger women and saying, of course, not ready to get married. And we're probably right, but people do get married at 23 and 22.
No,
and
it's, so I agree. I agree.
We're being condescending a little bit. And it's a very easy thing but it's true. But it's also a very easy thing for Tayshia and the other women who are a little bit older to like look at these, the younger women and be like, and kind of roll their eyes. It's just you know, like Tayshia, who's been married and divorced, and, you know, Cassie.
Right, and Kerpa's had a broken engagement.
Yeah, and Cassie's sitting here, you know, to doing her, like, Instagram, talking about her, like, filters, and just kind of being like, okay, yeah, you're ready.
I mean, I think it's easy to look back and be condescending to your younger self and to be like, I didn't know anything when I was 23, so why does this 23-year-old think she knows anything?
For sure.
Yeah, it's like, just wait, honey, you're going to figure it all out like I did. Kaylin
or not.
Gets really, really upset in her in the moment.
She's was not a good look.
For Kaylin?
Yeah.
Well, I
think that
she calls Tayshia a stupid bitch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not poised.
Yeah, it was not her most poised moment.
That is not runner-up beauty queen material.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to call that stupid bitch out. Like, I'm the only one who's falling in love with Colton. This is getting ripped away from me because there's an insecure 28-year-old girl in the house. So it's starting to go the other way, too.
She's like, I better get a fucking rose or I'm going to call that stupid bitch out.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, not a good look.
Not a good look, but authentic.
I mean, I guess
authentic.
Devil's advocate, when the beauty queen goes off script, I don't mind it, you know?
I mean, it was more entertaining than the very poised Kaylin.
It was entertaining. It didn't make me like her.
No. And it didn't scream Bachelorette to me.
Yeah, I agree.
It did not.
We've all have called other people bitches, have we not?
I think it takes on a different level when you're saying it direct to camera and you know it's going to be broadcast.
Totally. But
I think
you say that,
that holds a different weight.
You say that with the objectiveness of never, like, losing your mind in that world and feeling like...
Again, why I would not go on this show.
I understand that. And I'm not... But just like, and again, I don't know what's the worst thing you could be called. But in that world, that would be the equivalent. And she's... Yeah. And so all I'm saying is I appreciated the authentic moment of someone who's usually very on script.
It was extremely gritty.
Like
it was extremely gritty and real. And it carries her through to the night date when they both sit down, clearly still very upset and emotional. They hug it out a little bit and say they're not doing well. And he says, you know, I can't meet your family if I don't think you're ready. And it's really hard to be questioning things right now. And she says, okay, I'm finally ready to, like, articulate how I feel about this because I'm not so taken off guard. And she, you know, has pictured this future with him so vividly. She wouldn't be there if she wasn't feeling that way, that she cared about him, that she was here to, like, get engaged to him and married and have kids with him. And that's what she wants. She's been falling in love with him. And he is like, great, I like getting to know this about you, and now I feel confidence in us. And he gives her the rose. And then they go watch his favorite singer, Brett Young.
Who is his favorite?
That's what he said.
Definitely his very favorite.
And he plays a country music song, and they dance alone in an amphitheater. And now Kaylin's like, I'm in love with Colton. That's what does it.
I was just glad for them that they didn't have to, like, stand on a tiny platform surrounded by people with
iPhones.
Yeah,
there was no one else there.
It was actually a private concert.
I bet that Brett Young wished there were some other people there. next, it's Hannah B's day card. Home is where the heart is, which means that those are the three women getting one-on-ones this week. And Cassie, Hannah G, Kerpa, and Heather are going to be on that group date.
Were you surprised that Hannah B went home?
No.
Did you see it coming?
I was.
I saw it coming.
I saw it coming, too.
Yeah.
Also, because there's always, at this point, like, if
always
the first,
one.
Right. If the first two got the rose, they're not going to have him give it out on all three dates.
Because it does. It seems suspicious in retrospect that Cassie and Hannah G were on that a date that could have been a one rose date, because I think of them both as very much final four material.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He put himself in a position to send one of them home before hometowns if he gave roses to all three of his.
Yeah. Oh, they needed like some sort of more dramatic.
Also,
exit.
I mean, there's truth to the fact that at this point you have the relationships you're very confident in, and there's ones that you're like, I don't know. And sometimes these one-on-ones are used to figure it out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's on the fence with Hannah B. My gut tells me he probably knew there's a good chance he'd send her home that
day. So he took her to meet his family? Like, what the hell was he doing?
Again.
Well, Ben, this is a really bad idea.
As it's been pointed out, Ben Higgins did the same thing.
Maybe not his call as well.
It's just, it's such an odd thing to do.
That's right. Ben did the exact same thing.
Like
those Denver.
Hey, I just want to introduce you to two people you're never going to see again.
Let's make this really awkward for all of us.
Yeah. It's like, I usually don't bring girls home to meet my parents unless I know I'm never going to see them again. Makes it easier.
That's just an epic setup.
I mean.
And meanwhile, the Kaylin, Cassie, and Tayshia drama is bubbling up in the house because Kaylin comes home and tells Cassie that Colton told her that Tayshia warned him about both of them, especially Kaylin. And so she wants to talk to Tayshia, which results in this just super annoying conversation where...
I was confused hearing your explanation.
It was...
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't even summarize it in a neat way.
But like Kaylin shows up...
Kaylin thinks that she and Tayshia were friends. She feels betrayed. Tayshia says, well, Katie told Colton about this conversation that you guys had, and so I felt the need to give him more information
about
that.
Because he asked me directly.
And then that she starts saying the thing about how Kaylin and Cassie acted defensive.
If my memory serves me, I remember going into the date, Tayshia being like, I need to tell Colton what's up.
Right. I think that she very much expected Colton to give her an opportunity.
Yeah.
And she planned to take it because he had been saying, like, I need to figure out who the wrong girls are. I need to know. Like, maybe she thought he was going to ask her, like.
Well, I remember that because I didn't quite buy Tayshia's, you know, like, she was just like, well, he forced it out of me. It's like, I felt.
Oh, no, he definitely didn't force it out of her, but he did ask her directly. And I think she
seemed
was
happy
anticipating
to oblige.
Totally.
Yeah.
But she is insisting, you know, that Kaylin would have done the same thing and that if she wanted to just talk smack about Kaylin, she'd be doing it every day, but she only did it upon request.
I didn't quite understand that line.
Me neither.
I don't know. It just made the
whole
thing.
He was doing her the courtesy
again,
of not. It's like.
It made me sad. I was like, I don't want to be watching this.
And I think this is when we first see the argument advanced that that the other women can tell that Kaylin and Cassie are the ones that the three departing women were talking about because they acted so defensive when Colton brought it up. And that's the first, I think, and we hear that from Kerpa as well.
Yes.
Which is a truly insane argument.
Yeah, it's...
It doesn't make much sense.
Well,
Without us seeing any sort of video evidence of it.
I can speak from personal experience that the people who are the most emotionally invested are often the ones who react the most to the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You're freaking out, and a lot of the people know they're not it. You know, they don't get a lot of time with the lead. They're just kind of biding their time, and there's always like two or three people who are like really developing real feelings and really in it. And when accusations are made and they're vague and things are getting thrown out there, the lead comes in, has this like cryptic speech about how this isn't working. Those are the people who freak out the most,
mm-hmm.
and that have the biggest reaction, you know, who might look the most defensive. I mean, Sean and I said this on my podcast, when Caitlin and I had the mm-hmm. whole, you know, hookup, and that was the same week, and I didn't know this at the time, that Sean was sneaking over to Caitlin's room. And coming into that cocktail party, Caitlin came in and gave this very cryptic speech mm-hmm. about, like, she thought this week was going into this week. She just thought it was like everything was going great, and now she just doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And both Sean and I, in that moment, assumed Caitlin was referring to us,
mm-hmm.
to not mm-hmm. us as the pair, but
right.
me. And I didn't know what Sean was thinking because, like, we had just hooked up. I didn't know what she thought about that. I hadn't talked to her. I was very nervous about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, I didn't know this, but he was sneaking over and doing mm-hmm. all these things, and he just assumed Caitlin. Yep, I screwed up because he took these big risks, and all the other guys are like, eh, yeah, whatever, you know?
Right.
But Sean and I, who were very into Caitlin and very much having feelings, were freaking out.
Yeah.
But also because you knew you'd done something wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong, but it was
sinned. Like,
yeah,
and you were being punished by God.
By God.
Or like, you know, I'm doing something wrong for
very biblical.
But I'm just saying, like, it's that this reaction of like you reacted the most. Well,
yeah, I found that to be the weakest possible explanation, and I was disappointed that it became the dominant talking point.
I would argue that would prove to me that those two probably are the most emotionally invested in Colton, from my experience.
Maybe. Although Kaylin's behavior when they talked about it also struck me as very odd. Like, she was sort of talking through a smile a lot when she was defending herself, and she was like, her eyes were darting around a lot, and I was like, everyone is weirding me out. I don't know who to believe the most, and it's...
I believe everyone's bullshit truth.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. So, but let's go to Colton and Hannah's date. He walks her right into his family's living room without telling her what's going on, and she tells them, you know, that she knows that Colton's right for her because watching him on the show on Becca's season, she saw his heart, and she saw what life would be like with him as a partner.
Good. It would be good.
It would be good.
It would be good. It's like solid. Like a life. It'd be a life.
Yeah. And so Colton goes and talks with his dad, who's very round-headed and wearing a T-shirt that's very Colton style. And they have a chat and about the drama in the house. And his dad says, you should trust your own gut and not what you're hearing from other people. And meanwhile, Hannah is talking to his mom, and his mom is like, well, do you know how Colton feels about
you? Oh, the poor mom is probably just like, this isn't it, and I need this girl to prepare herself.
Yeah, and Hannah's like, well, I told him I was falling in love with him, but he hasn't said it back, and his mom's like, okay, hugs.
She's like, oh, honey.
So they, at that point, head out, and he just really has been keeping a hand on her leg the whole time they're driving. It looks very uncomfortable.
Not really interacting with her. And he's
just
clear,
like,
something
is
clearly off. And Hannah notices.
Yeah.
And she says, like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Totally fine.
Totally fine. Totally good.
Yeah. But it just seems like pretty quiet in the car. And then it's time for the evening date. She is in...
I loved this dress.
A shimmery puff sleeve pink gown.
I was into
it.
Question.
I looked
at that and I was like, I feel like that is a dress that a guy would be like,
not
that's
into,
too like girly.
I honestly don't remember.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it maybe
this is the
was,
thing I should remember. Men don't think about clothes.
Yeah,
at all.
It was maybe more.
I couldn't even tell you what color it was.
It was pink.
It was pink. Dressing for other women, but like that's fine.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's. I mean, my understanding is that's usually what. Was
women
happening.
Yes.
What women are doing for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying, I want that dress.
It was,
someone, you know,
actually nice.
Let me know
it
where
gave
it's
me
I will say
vibes.
Hannah B really grew on me over the course of the season.
Same.
This was her best day, I think.
She came off very, I thought she came off very well this
well,
episode.
I think we got to realize that Hannah B is, she's a goofball.
She's a weirdo.
She's a weirdo.
In a good way.
But like, yeah, and weirdo in short moments on The Bachelor can be used against you and made you look crazy. And all she is just a goofy weirdo with probably a cool hang and fun to be around, and she probably has no problem of kind of, she's not safe in a great way.
Yeah.
Where like the Hannah G is, she won't say anything at the risk of saying something that could be used against her.
But I do feel like Hannah B talks a lot more, but she doesn't say much more. And I think we continued to see that on this date, that she offers a lot of half-formed platitudes in response to really important questions. and so he's clearly trying to find some sort of justification to end it. And he says, you know, how do you know that you are falling in love with me? Like, what makes you feel that way? And she says, oh, well, I don't date to date. I date for marriage. I think that's what dating is for, especially at this point in my life.
Especially when you're 23 to 24
right?
years old.
And I'm falling in love with you still, and it's a really good feeling. And I was like, none of those things, I mean, sure, but none of those things are really specific to him or their relationship.
At this point, he's like, okay, I just gotta pull the trigger and end it.
Yeah. I mean, if she had been able to come up with that when he asked her for a toast at the beginning of their first one-on-one date, that would have been pretty good. But maybe, like, she's only gotten to that point now and he's looking for more.
Well, at that point, probably going into the dinner date. If he didn't know he was sending her home before the date started, he certainly knew going into dinner.
Yeah, yes. No, he was ready to dump her.
Like,
hard.
In the car when she's like, is everything okay?
He was like, how am I going to pull this off later?
He's like, well, I mean, I am, but you're not going to be.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly just don't really mesh. Like, I think she really wants to be in love with him and to have sort of figured out her husband search, and it's this handsome, nice guy.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they have that she spark. Kinda,
well, I mean, it happens a lot on The Bachelor, but Hannah B. specifically seems like that the young lady who in life just, it's not so much who she loves, it's finding someone who loves her kind of thing, where it's just like, well, he fits the profile, and now I just need someone who fits the profile to love me so I can be the wife and mom I've always desired to be.
Right.
She kind of comes across that way a little bit.
And The Bachelor is structured in this way to encourage that. Like, it's all about resume shopping. And so it's like, oh, Colton, what are you looking for? Well, I'm those things. And you have the things I'm looking for.
Done.
So, like, we're falling in love and we're going to be really happy together.
Yeah. We're going to have a life.
And
it'll be good.
Because the early part of the show is set up that way. That when in the later part of the show he starts dumping people because they don't have chemistry or he just doesn't really want to spend that much time around them, they're baffled.
It feels confused. It feels confusing.
They fit that she ate bugs for him. She is funny but also loving. Like, how could he possibly not?
He's like, I didn't ask you to eat the bug.
But I will say,
he's like, I actually found it disgusting.
I thought this ending was... she came off very well in this exit. She handled his rejection.
We'll see you on Paradise,
very maturely.
Hannah.
I will say this was another moment where Colton was like, look, I don't know if I'm there with you where I can go to hometowns.
Oh,
I can't
God.
Shake your father's hand and look him in the eye if I know I have any doubts about the
also,
relationship.
Also, you're 100% going to be shaking father's and mother's hands of people that you know you're not marrying.
Fine, but it doesn't make that line disingenuous because there
it's not disingenuous. It's, again, the over-focus on the father.
Forget about... fine. Father, yes. I get,
I'm not
going to
forget about that. It's part of the messaging of The Bachelor that is
fine,
very retrograde, and it bothers
me. Yes, you're right. Fair enough. But truthfully, the family is the lead. You feel really guilty, and there's a lot of, like...
Of course. Yeah, I believe that for sure.
Putting families through this, what is probably, at least to two families, very insincere conversations.
I'm sure it's very stressful. And I'm sure it's very hard on the families. I don't really understand why the father specifically is the focus of, but it's except that it's a question of man to man, sort of like.
I've been educated. You're right.
This has been very healthy for everyone here. So Hannah says, you know, well, yeah, I wouldn't want you to do that. It wouldn't be fair to me. I don't deserve that. But she's also trying to sort of play this very gamely. Like, she smiles and is like, well, I know you got everything I could give you here. I don't know what you want, but if you feel that way, I don't want you to meet my family. And he says, you know, you're going to make somebody very happy. And she's like, I know.
I loved that. Loved that so much because so often the narrative, especially with the younger women when they walk out, is like, no one will ever love me. And I loved the confidence where she's just like, yeah, you don't need to tell me. I'm going to make someone real happy.
I get it. You're right. But like, Raven kind of said that to me. And like, good on you for doing it, but it seems kind of like an F you.
Yeah, it is an F you.
It is, but also people are allowed to feel.
Everyone has all their feelings.
Sure.
Yeah.
How would you have felt if it was
kind of funny
reversed?
Honest
question.
All the time.
But if a guy says, would you, if it was the other way, Bachelorette breaks up the guy and he's like, no, I will, would you have thought it was douchey or kind of misogynistic?
It probably depends on how much I hated
not
him.
Not necessarily.
I mean, it's an honest question.
But I do think that, like, gender reversal is not as simple as that.
Yeah.
In that I think men are often encouraged to have that level of confidence and to maintain their pride in that sort of situation, whereas women are encouraged to be very gracious.
Oh, yeah. No, listen,
And so that
display of confidence, I think, is great all the way around.
That we enjoy, a norm that we enjoy seeing
the delivery.
Right. We just so often see women completely deflated when they are rejected by The Bachelor, and it feeds into this larger narrative of like what being rejected or being considered undesirable by one person means to a woman, and that is supposed to be like the greatest insult.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And so it's just. It's nice to see her so confidently be like, yeah, yeah, I will make someone happy.
Yeah,
and
shameless plug on my podcast. It's amazing. I've young women who are asking me questions about dating advice seem way more focused on if the guy likes them on more than if they even like the guy. So many questions are like, well, does he like me? And then you all have this conversation with them. I'm like, I don't even know if you like them.
Right, but that's because it's not because they like don't care about the guy, really. It's because they're so focused on the job they've been given by society to make men happy that it is hard to focus on their own feelings and desires. And that's it can be unhealthy for everyone, and it's good to try to discourage that mindset. So he does walk her out, and she says something kind of cryptic about listening to people about things and their intentions. Colton does not ask her a follow-up question. Why does he never ask the women who are leaving what they're talking about?
Because he's just wants to get it over with.
He's like, I'd rather spend my date with a girl I actually like talking about this rather
also,
than ask
I will
this
say that
now.
In that moment, it comes across as catty, and it comes across as whether it's intended to or not by the women who just got sent home, it often seems like a convenient way to then talk shit. Mm-hmm. So the lead's always like, okay, yeah, great. Now you're telling me, like, whatever.
Well, but it's like, it's also a thing of like,
kind of roll your eyes.
If they talk shit while they're still there, you're like, oh, you're trying to get an advantage. If you talk shit when you're leaving, then it's like, oh, you're just sour grapes.
There's no right time to talk shit. There isn't, but I'm just saying in that moment, the lead, like.
But he clearly wants to know more. He's already doing the investigation. So I think he could have asked Hannah what she was talking about.
But isn't it so much more fun for the show
if they can really just drag out?
My guess is what you got in that moment was an authentic reaction from Colton of just being over it.
I suspect that you're right. And back at the house, the women see Hannah's suitcase being taken away. Shock, 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 shock. They also had received their date card. Saying goodbye is never easy. But this means that there are now two roses available on this group date instead of one. And so the group date takes place in the woods. There is an old-fashioned steam train. They get on the train with Colton, and they get off in a sort of deeper in the woods, I guess, and have some hangs. Heather sits down with him first, and he's like, just to start, it's been a really hard week and full of doubts, and I'm just not really sure what to do. And she's like, let me stop you right there.
I'm going to leave.
Yeah. She's like, no, I'm definitely not taking you home to meet my family under these circumstances. And so he walks her right back to the train and they kiss goodbye. Her last kiss from her first kisser. And she,
I think there will be more in her future.
I have high hopes for Heather's future kissing prospects. She waves goodbye from the back of the train and
she's off.
And we're down to three. And so now it's just one woman who's going to be getting sent home from this date.
And we all know it's Kirpa.
We all know it's Kirpa. There's no way.
Biggest non-shocker in the history of the show. Because it was Kirpa and who? Cassie?
Kirpa, Cassie.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And Hannah G.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So
why should we even be watching this date? Unless it's ending with a fence jump, I don't need it.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
So they're all sitting in a group and Kirpa and Cassie are sort of bringing up, you know, Kirpa is saying, I will talk to Colton about what the conversation that was overheard, the rumors that have been flying around. If he asked me, I'm definitely going to bring it up. And Cassie is not pleased. But Hannah G at this point says, yeah, there were a lot of rumors going around and there were red flags that Tayshia has already discussed. So Hannah G is sort of just like, go ahead, go for it.
Hannah G is a smooth criminal.
Yeah, she's very sneaky. So Colton sits down with Cassie next and basically says, yeah, I heard that you're one of the people who's not ready and who's thinking about being the bachelorette and wouldn't want to accept a proposal. And that really terrified me to hear that about you. And that Tayshia even said I could ask any of the other women in the house and they would agree. And she's like, I'm shocked. I don't want you to believe that. I don't know why people would make stuff up about me. And she's like, I just really want you to meet my family. You'd fit right in. I definitely wouldn't be here if I didn't want that with you. And he's like, all right, cool. My gut is saying I agree. So at that point, he
thinks, gut is saying right? I'm attracted to you and like you, therefore.
I mean, you've got to follow your gut. What are you going to do, propose to someone that you don't want to propose
to? Right, because that's the thing. That's why the shit-talking of other women is always so useless, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, they're going to pick who they like.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter whether or not this conversation happened.
Sure, but it's like, it's kind of like, I mean, not to get dark, but, the dilemma people have in a relationship when they get cheated on, in a sense, right? Because this is like silly stuff they're debating on. But when you're in a relationship and let's say someone comes to you and says, hey, man, I really hate to tell you, but, you know, so-and-so, he or she's sneaking around on you. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, when you're in a relationship, You're dating your best friend. You're dating the person you trust the most, and that person should have and their expectations of your trust. And there's like that conflict of what deep down maybe your gut is telling you, and that's the hard part because you're supposed to believe your partner in this conflict, and you also think your ego's at play because your ego doesn't want to believe anyone could cheat on you type of thing, or in Colton's case, your ego doesn't want to believe that anyone could not actually be in love with you. You're the bachelor. Mm-hmm. And so there is that real conflict, and it's easy to just, yes, to your point, go with what you ultimately, I mean, you don't, the truth in that world, you don't really know. So it's like, yeah, you might as well, you're not going to pick the person you don't like because you don't even know who to believe, and no one's really saying anything.
You're going to err on the side of
your preference.
Getting to be with the person you want to be with.
And hope that.
Yeah, like if you make a mistake and then you're like married to someone you don't even like.
And that's kind of how it was for me. Toward the end, there was some like, you know, chirping about, you know, the person I was going to pick. And I was just like, well.
Yeah, you just got to chance it.
Figure it out.
Right. No, at that point.
And I mean, we're past the point in the season where like if it were the first half of the season, you could be like, everyone in the house hates this girl. She's bad news. And maybe he would just send her home and spare
but
himself.
That's, but it's that's too late not the for situation. That now.
But then he does sit down with Kirpa. Kirpa brings a notebook with her that is never addressed, but it is left with him. What is in the notebook?
That's so Kirpa.
I know. Like, first the chin, now the notebook. Will we ever get answers?
She's just clearly a very thorough and thoughtful person.
I really like her.
Yeah. Oh, no, she's charming in her own way. It's a little weird and
played this
kind of,
terribly, but I just really like
her. No, yeah, but it's just like so misplaced in that environment.
Yeah, no, it does. She feels like she just wandered off onto the stage from somewhere else.
Yeah, like she had no business being there.
She
woke up.
She was in some LA coffee shop.
Found herself in the show. She's like, why am I here?
But I guess it's great. I find it so refreshing.
No, it's fine. It's, yeah.
I don't know, because at some point she says, you know, I don't want you to end an engagement like I did. I want you to be going in with open eyes. And I had concerns about Kaylin and Cassie, so I want to present you with everything I know. So my question is the book, like, evidence? Or is it, like, some
sort
of,
a journal
like,
for him?
A journal for him of, like, her time on the show and how she's, like, falling in love with him. That seems like the more likely thing, but it's never addressed. Like, so if they had a nice part of their conversation that was about, like, I wrote this beautiful, like, story for you about my love story with you, that doesn't even get shown. But she does leave the book with him afterwards.
That's kind of weird.
And she, yeah. So she sits back down with the girls and has like another fight with Cassie, who then gets very emotional. Cassie's like, you know, starts crying. Kirpa says, you know, when people resort to crying, it's because they know in their heart that they're, like, in the wrong. I disagree very strongly with that.
There are some, you know, Kirpa's clearly intelligent and very poised, but she has some outlandish reasonings for her accusations.
Yeah, I don't think her arguments hold much water at all.
No.
Yeah. And you also, ultimately, as we've said, like, you don't get to decide whether someone else is ready for marriage.
Totally.
Also, yeah, and clearly, I think we all agree that Kirpa's like, not really emotionally invested in this process.
I think she's having a really nice time with Colton.
Yeah, and she's, like, you know, laying criticism on people who actually, whether they're ready or not, or you know, are sucked in the world. I do believe that Cassie and Kaylin are absolutely sucked into this environment and or Colton.
Well, you would know better than I do, because I've never done it. But at the night date, Colton takes them all to the night date, all three of them. But then as soon as they sit down, he asks Hannah G to come talk with him outside and basically gives her a rose.
That was weird. And then she like goes home and
then
says,
she just
hey,
goes
I got a rose.
Home.
That was
so weird.
That was super weird.
I guess maybe he just wanted to see her in a nice dress. I don't know. Fair enough. She looked great. And so then it's just down to, it's basically
it's a two-on-one we didn't get.
It makes sense, though, in a sense, because if, like, Hannah is one of his top women, it's like you give her the award of, like, you don't have to stress this on anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Make her feel good about it. But what it really comes down to is I actually want to spend more time with Cassie and have some slow dance moments.
That's true.
And you won't get to see that, and you won't necessarily get mad.
Until now.
Yeah. That's what it's really about, probably.
So at this point, Colton is having his separate sit-downs again with Kirpa and Cassie, trying to sort of get back on track, like talk to them individually about their relationships. And meanwhile, Caitlin has seen Hannah G come home and is like, oh, my God, like the shit has gone down with Kirpa and Cassie. I need to get in there and save my girl
this
from elimination.
So bizarre.
So she just straight up just hikes right up to the two-on-one, walks in without acknowledging Kirpa or Cassie at the table. She's like, I just want to make sure that you know that it's all bullshit before sending someone home that you have a connection with. And then we cut away. Cut to Kaylin leaving again without acknowledging the other women. I've never seen anything like this. For someone kind of like swooping in like Superwoman to save her friend from unjust elimination. But I mean, you can say that it worked. I think that he would have given the rose to Cassie anyway, which he does, because he clearly just is interested in marrying Cassie and not Kirpa.
Right.
But you know, Kirpa thinks that maybe Kaylin swayed the decision, but she's also like, he's an adult. He can make
definitely
his own choices.
Not.
Yeah, I don't think it made a difference.
Also, like, Kaylin's conversation was more about protecting her. Like, Kaylin just wanted to clear the air.
Yeah.
Right.
For
I
her
saw
own
people,
self.
I saw people on Twitter being like, wow, what a, like, this is how you stand up for other women. I was like, okay. No.
She wasn't standing up for anyone but herself.
Right, she was implicated in that. So it's not like a self. Like, it looks a little more selfless because she has a rose right now. But she was also defending herself.
It was all about herself.
Yeah.
Which is fine. This is totally acceptable.
It's totally fine. But I was like, let's not, like, saint the woman as, like, you know, the champion of other women.
Well, also because if she is defending anyone, she's defending Cassie. And, like, it's Cassie and her versus everyone else. So it's, again, still self-serving if she's defending Cassie. Because
it's
by defending Cassie, she's defending herself. Which, again, I have no problem with.
Right. And also, if Cassie goes home for that reason, then that reflects on Kaylin.
And Kaylin. I mean, she's next.
So, yeah, exactly. But Colton gives Cassie the rose. They stand on, like, a roof and do a champagne toast. And that is when we see in the credits the scene in which Tayshia has to get chocolate wiped off her butt because she sat in ice cream or something.
See, this is more of the content that I need in the normal show.
No one's The Bachelor doesn't like people to be funny unless it's in the credits or on Paradise. I don't know.
It's annoying. I would find it a lot more fun to watch the show.
No, I wish they would offer more. No, listen, it's a also talked about that on my episode this week, which drops tomorrow.
Just so you know, Nick has a podcast.
Yes, the Vile Files.
I don't know. They don't do that. It is frustrating for us contestants that they're very unscripted. They don't show humor or comedy
all
much.
Your quirky moments. Left on the cutting room floor.
Or, you know, maybe the credit bed, but.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Always
do you
great
have
to see
any
you ladies.
Final thoughts on this season before we let you go?
I think it's been a fun season.
Predictions?
Yeah, one of Kaylin, Hannah G, or Cassie, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, who else is left? Tayshia.
Maybe Cassie seems to be the front runner. I mean, that would be the
same. That's feeling, too.
It's a safe bet.
Who do you think will be Bachelorette? Toss up.
One of those three.
Thank you.
Wow.
Expert insight.
Well, I mean, Kaylin certainly has her story.
Yeah.
Of which, you know, I think was a powerful story. I think the show handled it pretty well as you can. So there's that.
Hannah G's kept her hands clean, but I don't know shown a strong enough personality to carry
Hannah G certainly has the look, and she's poised, but she's not very dynamic. And if she is, she hasn't shown it. So that she doesn't have that going for her.
Yeah.
She's kind of just there, looking pretty and nice and very poised.
What more can you ask?
From a bachelorette, you
need more.
You need a lot more from a bachelorette.
Well, I can't wait to find out what happens and for this fence jump to never, ever happen.
Nick, one day.
Thank you so much
joining
us.
I know when it happens.
I hear it's overnight dates.
I don't believe anyone anymore.
But, you know, it could all be a lie.
It's been confirmed. I won't say, but I do know. It
say
does
it.
Happen.
Say it.
I won't. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. And this week, we have a bunch.
It was a rough week
a
for
doozy,
gender equality.
If you will. First, there's all the age shaming and terrible catty drama between the women. So many of them behave poorly. It doesn't make sense to break it down individually. I think we covered it. I'm going to give that one a 5. Just really hate to see this girl-on-girl crime. It makes me sad as a viewer and just like, I hope we can move past it.
Yeah, like it's totally fine for women to not always be friends or to criticize other women, but the way that it played out this week felt very, very nasty and felt like it played into a lot of ideas about how women are supposed to behave and what age they're supposed to be and how ready for marriage they are. And it was very, very disappointing.
Yes.
Next, Colton. Colton is gearing up for hometowns with a lot of problematic statements. First, he seems to assume that his wife will take his name based on his comment about Tayshia wearing his jersey. Going to give that a 3. It's not the most egregious, and I'm sure he was just being lighthearted about it. But a reminder that, you know, she might not want to just give up her name just because she has chosen to share her life with a man.
Then, of course, Colton says he just can't imagine shaking a father's hand if he has any doubts about marrying his daughter. Oh, Colton, we're just going to give that one a 4. Again, playing into the history of marriage that suggests that a woman is property to be given from a father to a husband.
In the same vein, Colton says he has to have the father's permission before proposing to a woman. Not because she wants it necessarily.
No, because the father owns her, Claire.
Right, because it's the father's choice. We're going to give that a 5. I think it was really the clearest example of Colton expressing this idea that the relationship between a man and his wife's father, it takes precedence over his relationship with the woman herself, which does feed into these very damaging historical sort of structures of what marriage is for and how it has been used to oppress women. And The Bachelor loves playing into these tropes.
Yep.
And I would really love it if they moved in a more modern direction.
Yeah, we give this kind of statement a feminism fail nearly every season of The Bachelor. So, like, you know, maybe one time we won't have to.
Yeah.
One can hope. And then finally, this is another sort of off-screen feminism life humanity fail. There is a lot of bullying of the women of color going on social media, specifically Tayshia and Kirpa after last night's episode. I'm going to give that one a 5. Stop. It's disgusting. These are real people. And unfortunately, we do see that the women of color who go on this show tend to receive harsher criticism than the white women. We also did want to acknowledge that Cassie tweeted out something encouraging people not to bully Tayshia or Kirpa or Katie. She tweeted, "I think everyone needs to remember that these, quote, characters are real people. Emotions run at a high on this show, and we are in a very unique environment. While I very much appreciate the support, please do not drag others through the mud or bully in the process.
Hashtag The Bachelor.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Nick Vile, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. It really helps people discover our show. And you definitely don't want to miss a moment of the rest of Colton's season and that fence jump when I'm sure it will arrive. You can also give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emma Lady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back next week.